El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So I was showing Bud and Robert here. This is the these are the front pages here.
What'd that say to Super Fort?
See, this is what I have during our pre-show here on Phil TV and HD, and which is what I'm doing right now for our Backstage Pass viewers. And if you had a Backstage Pass, you could enjoy this as well. If you don't, you should get one at philhendryshow.com. But anyway, I have my New York Times front pages, and I've just picked the date of June 16th, which is today, 1944. And it just so happens that on this, on the day before, the 15th, Super Forts.
What is that?
Those are the B-29s. That was the first time the B-29 was flown, and it attacked the Tokyo industrial, or excuse me, the Japanese industrial centers. And it was a very, they called it a super fort because these suckers not only carried a pretty good payload of bombs, they also were just surrounded. They had guns everywhere. They had the turret guns and the tail guns. And
yeah, tail guns.
Shut up. Why don't you grow up, okay?
No, he called me a tail gunner once.
Yeah, that's and I should have, too.
Okay, so he called you a tail gunner. I'm talking about something completely different. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Anyway, so tail gun, meaning a machine gun, all right? This isn't games, guys. This is guys lost their lives. You understand that, right?
Yeah, I'm not making fun of that.
Well, then stop talking about tail gunner like it's something, you know, There were cats that were on these aircraft, and they were getting killed, man. I mean, you know. Anyway, so that's the New York Times front page for the 16th of June, 1944. And, of course, by that point in the war now, the Axis, Japanese and Germans are really losing, man. They're now on the defensive. They're getting their ass kicked. They're everywhere. Every single place on the map, they're losing ground. And so that was a good thing. All right, welcome back to our Phil Hendry Show here, our news and information hour. It's good to be with you guys. Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman on the line with us here. But if you guys want to get me something, you keep talking about my birthday is coming up September the 1st, right?
Yeah, what do you want? Like, what do you want?
I want just historical things like the CD-ROMs like this. I love these front pages, man. If you could get me some more, like, newspapers like that, you know?
What if we just got you the newspaper?
If you just got me the newspaper from each, what are you talking about?
If we got like 100 years of a newspaper.
I don't know, man. I don't, you know.
What's wrong with that?
Well, first of all, if you've got 100 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's 1912. What kind of shape's the newspaper in?
Well, I mean, it's falling apart, but.
Oh, well, great, man. How do I read that?
If you are real careful with it.
And why don't you guys just get me something like this? Why don't you go out and get me 100 years worth of newspapers that are yellow and ready to fall apart?
Because I don't know where or not where to find it. But my uncle's got a whole garage full of newspaper. But some of it, I think, goes back 100 years.
Yeah, he used to do the paper drives, but he stopped doing it.
He used to do a paper drive, but he stopped doing it? What has he got in the garage?
He must have 100 years worth of newspapers.
How old is your uncle?
Well, he's not old, but I mean, when my grandmother died, they cleaned out her apartment. And she had a lot of, my grandmother saved a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I'll say she saved a lot of stuff. She's got 100 years worth of newspapers.
She got a lot of stuff. She got like football program when my uncle, or not my uncle, but when my great uncle played, he played football at the Stanford University.
Get out of here, man. You wanted to go to Stanford.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Your uncle played football, not your uncle.
No, my great uncle.
Played football at Stanford.
Yeah.
What was his name?
They called him Wizard Dickman.
Wizard Dickman, get out of here.
I swear to God.
Well, I ain't never heard of a Wizard Dickman.
So? That doesn't mean he did exist.
So she kept all the football programs, huh?
Yeah, she got all football programs, my uncle, or my great uncle, and my other great uncle. And then she got a bunch of stuff.
Wizard Dickman?
Yeah, I think that's what they called him.
Yeah, I'll bet they did.
Oh, try to be a smartass, huh?
Hey! Man, he grabbed my throat.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so his name's Wizard Dickman. Good for him.
Well, he ain't around no more.
No, I would imagine. So what's she doing with 100 years worth of newspapers?
I don't know. There's mentions in there of members of my family. Like, one of my family members was, he was help well, some guy, he made an experiment, and my relative helped him.
What'd he do, blow up something?
I'm going to kick your ass. Hey,
one more time, man. I'll kick your ass.
You're going to get a call from that lady.
Yeah, Mrs. Karen's going to call.
I hope she does. I told David, I told him what to say to her. You're going out a window, and she'll follow you out. I'll just tell you this much, bud. No, thank you. You guys are very kind, but I'd rather just have a CD-ROM. I think these are really cool. Or whatever you got, any high-tech, high-media, just get me high, will you?
Okay.
877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show here. And our podcast, our episode 8 of the world-famous Phil Henry Show podcast is out. Want to mention as well, if you go to our shop, that is the Phil Henry Show shop, we have a variety of fun things. You know, Dad's Day is coming up on Sunday. I know that Father's Day is, it's a little late now to be ordering anything for Father's Day. But you can always tell Dad, hey, Dad, here's an IOU. I owe you a Ted's of Beverly Hills hooded pullover sweatshirt. Or how about a Phil Henry Show download of some? Actually, that's something you could get Dad right now. You could get him the MP3s of all of our legacy CDs right now. You could do that. By the way, the deadline, you BSPs out there, the deadline is passed. I wanted all of your selections for the very best Ted Bell bits, because by the end of the month, we're going to have on site our best of Ted Bell collection. And right now, I can tell you this. We've got so many suggestions. We may have to do, you know, like a double download, if you'll pardon the expression.
Yeah, well, they can get them individually.
Yes, they can. They can. You guys will be able to download individual cuts as you can do it now. But if you wanted to buy the whole collection, we'll have the whole collection of cuts at a certain price. This will be the very first time that we've ever done a best of any individual character from the show. So what we call Ted's Best, the best of Ted's of Beverly Hills. And look for it on site in the Phil Henry Show shop before the end of the month. All right, some celebrity news here for you. I know you love this stuff. I know you don't really, but hey, sometimes it's cool, sometimes it ain't. Sometimes you just wonder what in blue blazes, and sometimes you realize what's really going on here, which is that the celebrities are, in a lot of ways, just like you and I. Oh, sure, maybe they have a little more money to spend on booze. But what makes them really weird isn't so much them, it's that gaggle of weird asses that follow them around with cameras and notebooks and... You know, have you ever heard those guys?
Yeah, like on TMZ.
I got to tell you something. TMZ made a big mistake. And Radar Online and any of those sites, the biggest mistake you guys ever made was allowing your reporters to be heard and sometimes seen on those video clips that you post in relation to different stories about celebrities. Because what you've done... is I always knew what the reaction of the movie star was or the celebrity or whoever, and they were irritated or they were saying something stupid or they were falling down drunk or they were doing this or doing that. But when you guys couldn't resist putting your reporters, including your reporters' clips and your reporters' questions and sometimes even the pictures of your reporters, when you couldn't resist because of either ego or stupidity putting them up there, now I see what a bunch of jackasses they are. And no wonder people react the way they do.
Yeah, I was going to say that one guy was bugging some lady. He said, don't drive. You can't drive. You're too drunk. Blah, 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 blah. And she never got arrested or nothing.
I don't know who was that?
Some celebrity guy was going, hey, man, don't let her drive. Don't let her drive. Don't let her drive. And probably thought it was going to make him look good. Well, guess what? She drove real good. You know.
Who was it?
I forget who it was, but that guy looked like the biggest turd. He looked like a turd in a hat.
Turd in a hat. Well, I've seen cats like, Jack Nicholson came out of a restaurant and they were peppering him with questions. He says, I'll answer all the questions you guys have. Would you please turn those lights off? You know, because those big bright lights.
Yeah, they kept saying, hey, Jack, hey, all that.
Yeah, they'll keep bugging him as they're going in. He says, oh, look, I'll answer, but will you turn that light off? Because they got the light in his face. So you sort of figure out, and I think that this is perhaps, I may be wrong, but it's a unexpected collateral effect of this new journalism where, because of ego and ego alone, they have cameras now in the newsrooms of these places. You know that show, what's the TMZ show?
Dad, they saw Harvey Levin.
That's it, Harvey Levin, and he's talking with those guys. Jeez, have you ever seen a bigger pack of ass captains in your life?
Dad, all those guys think they're bitching.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they're the stars, you know. Oh, and another thing that happened. It doesn't give me any, I don't have any sympathy for them. I don't identify with them, see, because that's what I'm supposed to do. The reporters, good reporters, are almost like a representative of us, the consumer. They go out and they ask all these questions of these people that we can't go near. And they go places where we ordinarily wouldn't be able to go. And so they speak for us in a lot of ways, or they are our curious side. And, you know, when they do a really good job, that's sort of how I think the consuming public views them. But when they're actually on camera and you actually hear them or see them and you see some of the things they do and say, to me, these slobs, I wouldn't have these guys, I wouldn't let them in the house to use the toilet, even if it was broken. Especially if it was broken.
What's that mean?
I don't know. All right, so Lindsay Lohan, celebrities love to play the exhausted card, according to this story in TMZ. You know why they like to play the exhausted card? Because framed in the correct fashion, it's almost impossible to call BS on them. Deep down, everyone might think it could be BS, but there's no way of knowing for sure, especially considering the crazy work schedules actors and actresses often keep. Take this Lindsay Lohan mess as an example. Earlier today, paramedics rushed to the Ritz-Carlton in Marina del Rey after a hotel worker found the Mean Girls actress unresponsive. She'd already called the set at her movie, Liz and Dick, to report she was exhausted, but by the time the private doctor they sent arrived, emergency rescuers were allegedly on their way as well. The EMT successfully aroused Lohan and quickly discerned nothing serious was going on. But as always happens with these things, the story has taken on a life of its own on the internet with scores of wild rumors. Well, now, that's really, I'm so thankful that you guys pointed that out. I must go check out the rumors. To stem the tide, Lohan's reps put out a statement saying she was exhausted. Have we taken our break?
No.
All right, let's take a break, because I'm exhausted. We'll be right back.
You want to read the rest of it?
No, I don't really want to read the rest of it. Maybe she's exhausted. Maybe she's on drugs. You know what? TMZ, pound it. We'll be right back. World famous
Truth
Phil Hendry Show.
He's our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Live on.
For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com.
A picture. This is a picture of Chris Brown on our homepage, not for any reason really, other than the asinine outfit he's wearing. And Chris Brown is, you know, he doesn't have a whole lot of people in the real world that admire him because of the incident with Rihanna. That is, and when I say incident, basically what he did was he drove her face into his fist, and then I think he bounced her face off of a dashboard, and then kicked her out into traffic. Now, the picture there of Mr. Brown, and of course he feels, as a lot of these guys do, he feels put upon, he feels like a victim, he feels, there's a lot of things that he feels. However, I don't know what night it was. What night was it, Robert?
I don't know. I thought it was the other night, man. I thought it was last night, but it wasn't last night that Rihanna was with him.
Well, there was a night not too long ago, I think it was this week, if not last night, where Chris Brown is at a nightclub in New York, and there is another recording artist there, named Drake. Drake is very popular. He is quite talented and is really, the rage, the same as Chris Brown is. In any event, the two, and the, you know, when people, these guys go to a nightclub, it isn't just them. It's a whole freaking posse of people. It is a contingency, man. It's like a battalion, you know.
Yeah, he's got all that bodyguard and everything.
Well, that's just it. Now, here's what they say happened, and this is the kind of mentality we're dealing with. The witnesses state that Chris Brown's group began flashing gang signs. I have no idea if that's true. I just have no idea why, other than to provoke the other party, which is what happened. And eventually it turned into a bottle-throwing episode. Bottle-throwing. That's what, you know.
They didn't throw no fist?
That I heard any fists were thrown, bottles were thrown. This is, imagine, you know, if you own the nightclub, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't care, because that'd be in the newspaper and everything. People think it's cool.
Well, I mean...
Now, that he's got a point there.
Are you kidding me, man? So I'm going to stand there, the owner of the nightclub, and I'm watching these jackballs throwing Heineken bottles at each other.
Yeah, but it's Chris Brown and Drake.
Well, are you telling me you guys wouldn't do anything?
Well, I don't know, man. That'd be a hard one to intercede in. You know, I mean, certain reputation. I don't want to step on nobody's toes.
Yeah, you don't want to disrespect nobody.
Disrespect nobody? The guy's in my nightclub throwing bottles.
But, all right, man, you don't want to have Chris Brown in there.
You know, let me tell you something. He got his ass... Both of them got talked to by the cops. I don't know, but...
Because you'll get a reputation that celebrities won't want to go to your club.
No, I think you're full of crap. You know that? I think you're full of crap. If I own that nightclub and I take a stand, I say, you know, I'm very happy to have you gentlemen here, and I think it's very nice that you're in my club, but throwing these bottles, no way, man. Get out. You and you, you and you and you, all of you out there, all of you are now members of the Lago Volunteers.
Hey!
Which movie?
High Plains Drifter.
What?
High Plains Drifter.
Good. All right. Make a long story short, this is the whole point of what I'm trying to tell you. Now, what do we got? Wednesday night, Brown is at another nightclub, and guess who is, baby doll. You know, she's getting him drinks, and she's making sure that he took eight stitches in his chin.
Somebody hit him with a bottle.
Someone with a really good shot hit him with a bottle, I guess. It was Rihanna. The one that he had been beating up, she's there. Now, I know that we've heard this story a million times. Why do women do this? Why do women get beat up and go back to the guy?
Why?
Why? It isn't the daddy issue that I heard some guy mention to me on Twitter today. It's the mommy and daddy issue. It's that mommy got her ass beat, and daughter sees this. She sees daddy beating up mommy. She sees them making up. She basically gets the message that he loves you if he's beating your ass.
What are you talking about, man?
That's exactly what it is. A man doesn't love you unless he's beating you up. Now, have you ever dealt with a woman like this before?
I don't know.
I have. I've actually been around women like this who get their ass kicked by some guy, but they stay with the guy because that's what love is.
That sounds retarded, man.
Retarded? It's worse than that. It's like just, it's emotionally, I mean, they're nuts. So what am I supposed to do? You want me to sit here and start crying tears, big crocodile tears for Rihanna? She's going to wind up dead, man. Dead. You understand what I'm saying? Dead.
It's not that bad. I mean, he...
It is that bad, bud. That's exact. He's going to kill her. Okay?
Yeah, but Bobby Brown, he didn't kill no Whitney Houston.
Bobby Brown didn't kill Whitney Houston. No, he didn't kill Whitney Houston, but something killed Whitney Houston. And how do you know that what killed her, whether it was drugs, whether it was something else, whether it was the weak heart, how do you know what killed her wasn't contributed to by all those years she spent with that scumbag? How do you know that didn't happen? But this guy Brown, if Rihanna has got any brains, which apparently, you know, she's a great singer, she's a beautiful girl, she's a great entertainer, but she's on her way, she's going to a grave. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, you shouldn't say that, man, because they'll say that you caused it.
What?
They will, man.
Oh, get out. How am I causing it?
Because you're on the radio talking about it.
I don't give a damn. I'm telling you right now, this guy Brown, Rihanna's going to wind up on a gurney with a sheet pulled over her face, and somebody's going to say, oh, look at that, that's Rihanna, that was the singer, yeah, huh? And they're going to stick her in a drawer, close the drawer with a toe tag on. That's the end of that.
If that ever happened, then people say, why didn't you call the police?
What? What does that mean?
What's that mean?
Because if you know he's going to do it, you should call the police.
I got to call the police? The whole freaking world is watching this happen. Are you nuts? The whole world is watching this happen, man. They're watching this scumbag Brown. You know what? That cat ain't even all that talented, man. Of the two tables, Drake's got it all over him. I don't know what the gang sign is. Drake's from Toronto. You know, quit, you know, don't, just stop. Will you people? You're silly. But I don't give a damn what happens to Drake. He could take a whole bottle of mums off the head. This guy Brown, he's going to wind up killing that girl. that Rihanna. She's going to be dead, and people are all going to walk around saying, oh, well, we knew it was going to happen, and I knew it was going to happen, I knew it was going to happen. All right, we'll be right back with more of Phil's insights into celebrities and their bottle throwing. Coming up here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show in our News and Information Hour, check out our podcast, Episode 8. Check out our website, philhenryshow.com. Check it out.
You're gonna get in trouble.
Yeah.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and very, very delighted to have you with us here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. I was just talking to Dan Northcraft, who's our technical director, and Dan works very, very late, as I do. Dan works even longer than I do.
Yeah, Dan, he's working all night.
He's working all night. Now, he's going to the beer walk tomorrow. I said, how does a guy that works all night go to the beer walk? He goes, I just forced my ass out of bed at 9 a.m.
Man, that's hardcore, man.
And, well, I don't even know how a guy does that, you know? But he's a better man than me. I would love to be able to do that, because I'll tell you one thing, when I'm, you know, and I don't even work all night, but you get off the air on the West Coast, we're off the air at 1 a.m. That means bedtime, maybe 4, maybe 4:30, maybe 5, and I'm sleeping till 2, you know?
But y'all just get your ass out of bed, man.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's hard, you know?
Yeah, but Dan Northcraft doesn't do it. He's going to go to a beer walk.
Yeah, if you think about that, he ain't going to have no sleep. Then about within 30 minutes of the beer walk, he'd be falling down blind, stinking drunk. Now, that's the kind of man he is.
Well, that's really nice of you to say. I'm sure Dan appreciates that.
What? So what are you talking about?
Within a half hour of the beer walk, he's going to be blind, stinking drunk. Man.
Well, I'm not saying blind, stinking drunk, but I'm saying that he gonna have a beer, and if you can't have a beer, what kind of man are you? You know
what? Are you listening to what I'm saying here? I'm talking about how I've got great admiration for him. He's gonna get up at 9 o'clock and go out. He's going to the beer walk. I don't know what kind of a drinker he is, but if you think some guy with 30 minutes of going to a beer walk, he's blind, stinking drunk. You know what that is, right?
Yeah, falling down,
throwing up,
falling down and throwing up, and he's got 3 hours of sleep. I think the cat, and you know, he's going to be with his wife and everything, man. I mean, it's not everybody. Not everybody drinks like you guys, okay? 877-876-PHIL. But to tell us a little bit more about the beer walk, at least in her neighborhood in New York City, is Debbie Daly. Debbie is the host of Daly's Daily, a public radio morning show. She is, in fact, the only radio host known in the world who is hearing impaired. Debbie does not hear anything and has not heard anything from birth. And we'll have to get into what that was about.
Yeah, what caused that or something?
Does somebody like come up and blow a trumpet in her head or in her ear or something?
I don't know, okay? Blow a trumpet in her ear?
Yeah, but if they blew her ear out.
I don't know. Debbie, how are you?
I'm really good.
Debbie, I wanted to ask you, what beer walk do you go to?
It's
called a pub crawl?
Mm-hmm.
I'm Robert.
Hey, Robert, how are you doing?
I'm good. Did somebody blow up a trumpet in your ear? Well, how come you can't hear?
Yeah, we gotta bet that somebody blasted a trumpet in your ear.
Did you hear that? She doesn't think it's funny.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
You did that to your father? You know, this is probably disconcerting for the audience. Folks, we're talking to Debbie Daly. I'm not trying to make you out to be a freak show. I'm trying to tell the audience. She has a hearing. It's difficult for her to hear, so she uses an enhanced device, but as a result, it's difficult for her to speak.
You are making me into a freak show.
I'm not making you into a freak show. I'm trying to tell the audience what's up if they're just tuning in. Now, to get back, where are you anyway? You're in the kitchen at the restaurant you were at looking for ice cream. Okay.
Don't talk to me like I'm the lean on him and a list of freak items in the freak show. Okay?
I'm not talking to you like you're the lead item on a list of freak things at the freak show. I'm asking you a question. You said that your father lost his hearing because someone blew a trumpet in his ear?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to tell you.
Who did?
I did.
You did?
Yes, I did, because my dad said, "Hey, I really wish my remote didn't hear anything." And so I said to him one day, "Well, let me give you a thing." And he was never doing that. And you don't tell me to return to the air anymore.
Wait a minute, wait, hold on. Your father said that he wanted to know what it was like to be hearing impaired like his dear daughter, Debbie.
Okay.
And so you said, "Let me let you try it on for size," and you blasted a trumpet into the...
Well, it's kind of funny.
No, it's not.
Hold on for a minute. So you blasted a trumpet in his ears. He lost his hearing, and now you're closer than ever before. Thank you, Debbie, for taking that trumpet and blasting it. Where'd you get the trumpet? You rented it from the Music Mart. You rented it for that specific purpose.
Yeah.
How old were you at the time?
Ten
or 11.
Man, that's very intelligent of you.
Oh, yeah, sure. Man, what I'm trying to say is I think there's something wrong with you at the age of 10 to take a trumpet rented from the Music Mart down the street, stick it up into your father's ear, blast it as loud as you can, blow his hearing out so that he knows what it's like to be you. And the two of you are closer than ever before? That's something real strange. That's like reverse abuse. You know?
I can't understand her when she gets excited. Would you tell her?
You can tell her.
Miss Daly, I can't understand.
Would you get that out of here? Whoever, whose idea was that?
I thought it'd be interesting.
I got something in my eye, man.
No, what do you mean in your eye? She can't hear.
I don't care about her right now. I got something in my eye talking to that nut. God. So anyway, well, that was really great, bud. Thanks a lot. I learned a lot about the beer walk there on the Lower East Side.
Well, that's what you said was coming up.
Let's not have her on the show unless it's something political, okay? I'm not going to have some chit-chat session with somebody that can't speak. Excuse me for saying this, folks, but she can't. The only reason why she can hear us is she got some Air Force amplified hearing aid.
Yeah, I thought because her dad worked, you know, in the Defense Department.
That whole thing with her dad is the weirdest thing I've ever heard in my life. I'd like to know what it's like to be my daughter. She rents a trumpet and blasts both of his eardrums out. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, of course, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, online at philhenryshow.com, and we have for you our backstage pass so that you can enjoy thousands and thousands of hours of archived material as well as watch our video cast, which you can watch right now. But I can assure you, tonight's show might have been a good show to watch, given the weirdness of it, just the overall the strangeness of it. I don't ever – that bothered me a lot. So anyway – I hope you have a good time at the beer walk, Dan. I will say, just in closing on this entire segment on beer, I had a beer the other day, and it tasted real good.
Yay!
Thank you.
Well, what was it?
What was it?
Yeah.
It was a beer, a Heineken, I think.
What was that one beer you had up in Canada?
I don't know. I don't know the name of that. I forgot the name of that Canadian beer. It was very good. Beer tastes good if you haven't had it in a while. Beer, for me, and this is just for me, beer begins to taste. It loses its pizzazz for me, man. If I'm drinking beer every day, and you know, when I was younger and I was a daily beer drinker, I don't care what kind of beer I was drinking. It tasted just it started to taste like crap. But if I drink a beer every now and again,
you don't even drink beer.
I'm not really a beer drinker anymore. No, but if I drink a beer now, it tastes, especially if it's a good beer, it tastes fantastic. I don't think there's anything I've ever had that tastes better, man. It's great. But I don't drink beer as much anymore for a couple of reasons. Like I said, one, daily beer drinking for me, it begins to taste like you know what.
Like pee.
That's why I said you know what, so you wouldn't say that.
Oh.
And number two, it puts all that weight on you. Now, I've had a lot of requests, and by a lot of requests, I've had two.
That's enough.
Right. I've had a lot of requests from people who, guys who want to know the whole diet thing. Because I told you, I am down to 240. I'm probably down around 242, 243. I haven't been on the scale in a couple of weeks because I went to Tampa and I blew the diet out a little bit. But it's a real simple diet, you guys. It's no big thing. 2,000 calories a day, and that's it. And if you want to drink beer, everything's got calories on it. Two Heinekens, man, I think is somewhere in the neighborhood of, one Heineken's 148 calories, okay? So you're talking under 300 calories for two. If you only got 2,000 calories a day, I would not suggest drinking beer. I would drink tequila.
Why?
Tequila is only for a shot of tequila. It's only 92 calories, okay? So you can drink two shots of tequila, and that'll get you nice, you know, for a beautiful afternoon, and you're still under 200 calories.
Well, I mean, but, oh, so you're saying you can't drink no beer?
You can drink beer if you want to. I'm just telling you, if you've got 2,000 calories a day, you're going to want to eat some food. So if one beer is 150, let's call it 150 calories, that's 300 calories for two beers. To me, that's a waste, man. If you want to get a buzz on, I recommend tequila. Don Julio tequila, which I looked up on my little calorie counter thing.
They got that on you?
Yeah. If you go to that one, there's one app that shows you a whole bunch of stuff online. It'll show you the calories of every single food and even brand names. I put Don Julio in there, and up came Don Julio tequila. I think it's like 92 calories for one. Am I right about that? Yeah, for 1 ounce. And, you know, I'll drink a double tequila. That's 180-some calories. That's it, you know?
Well, what if you want to have more?
You can have more if you want to, but just keep in mind, you've got to have three shots of tequila for under 300 calories or two beers. I don't know about you, but the choice is made, that my mind's made up. I ain't having two stinking beers. I'm going to have the shots of tequila. I like the drink better. More bang for your buck, less calories. Thank you.
Yeah, that's pretty good, Mr. Henry. You should tell people.
I'm on the radio right now. What do you think I'm doing?
Oh.
We'll be right back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show in our final segment. We only have a final segment on Friday night, Saturday morning shows. Otherwise, it's the final segment. And then the weekend is upon us. Oh, happy day. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Woo! Henry Show. For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And a very pleasant good morning to you. Our final segment here in the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Turn the fan off, will you, bud?
Thanks. It's getting hot, Garrett. Sweating up like a pig.
Okay, yeah, because I can smell you.
Well, that could be me.
Oh, okay. Well, then I can smell you, too. But we got to keep the fan off while we have these few moments with our audience. Now, just a small message. Internet Explorer, you people have got the worst browser on God's good green earth. It just flat sucks. However, Mozilla, yours is worst. Or worse, because I've had to abandon that Firefox and go to Internet Explorer, because Firefox, you just flat suck on wheels, man. And now I got to wait for an update for you, Jack Balls, every 5 minutes just to fix stuff. In any event, I'm over here, and I wanted to look at the story because they have released the name of the man who was killed in that incident in Texas. this man who was molesting or alleged to have molested the little girl. I had it a moment ago, but you people just kind of changed it up on me, man. It was in Shiner, Texas, bud, so if you could go ahead and look. They released the name of this man, and all I'm saying is the following thing. It is an allegation of molestation that, if I'm not seeing this correctly, let me know. This guy who is saying the girl was being molested was the father who did the attacking. And I have to go according to his word on this thing. Not a problem, and I'm not saying the guy's a liar, but can I get a little more information? That's all.
Yeah, well, that's what they're going to do.
I understand that. I don't know how you say, well, we're standing behind this guy because he did the right thing. And in some of the reporting that I've seen, they're even going so far as to say the man who was killed was molesting this girl. Excuse me, but like I said, man, the only thing I've heard in the news is that the father came, beat this guy. The grandfather, the father of the man who did the attacking, showed up when the guy was already on the ground beaten. So there's one man that saw it, and there's a little girl that was involved. And so I suppose that they'll interview her, but I don't know what the story is, you know?
Well, you ought to say, man, wouldn't you stand with the people in the town?
How can you do that? How can you do that if you don't know what happened? They must know something that the rest of us don't know. And that's very possible. They live in the town. They know the man. They know they have access to the information in the news. And they know exactly what went down, I guess. So they probably know more about it than I do. I wouldn't doubt that in the least. Having said that, me, Phil Henry, out here, I don't know Jack, man. And I ain't going to make any decisions based on not knowing it. And I'm sure as hell not going to get on the radio and say, hey, good job there, Dad. Why? I'm sick and tired. I won't do that. I'm not going to. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to quit making commentary about other talk shows. Suffice it to say that talk radio in America, in my opinion, is one big amateur night. There's nothing about it that's compelling or interesting to me at all, with the exception of one or two or three or four, maybe four hosts. That's it. The rest of it, I wouldn't hire these guys, man, to sell snake oil. I wouldn't have them trying to get customers up at Finocchio, standing out on the street and waving a menu. I wouldn't hire these guys to do anything. And the fact that these guys are getting the accolades they get, whatever, okay? But I know exactly how those pea brains are handling this. I know exactly how, especially the right-wing hosts, are handling this. They're pandering to the audience. They don't give a damn whether people are getting information or not. They're just pandering. Somebody posted something online that I was very grateful to see. It was Sean Hannity, who's a very nice guy, going against Christopher Hitchens, the late, great Christopher Hitchens. Let me tell you something. It was ugly. Sean Hannity in his universe is fine. But when he goes up against somebody who has not only an intellect, but a writing experience, debating experience, a man who is steeped in his philosophy as a real intellectual and thinker, Hitchens tore Hannity to shreds. Just tore him to shreds. It was like Hannity was slap fighting. Okay? That's talk radio, folks. I'm not trying to single out Sean. He's a good guy, and he does an entertaining show. But he's not an intellectual, and he certainly is not even in the same league with a bona fide world-class intellectual that Christopher Hitchens was. So when you go up, if you think you're going to debate a guy like, whoever gave Sean, buddy, if you're listening, man, where did you ever, who told you, man, that you belong in the same state with a Christopher Hitchens, let alone in the same soundstage? Are you kidding? Whoever told you that did you a disservice. Because you look like a jackass. God bless you.
You know, he's got to hear that. Somebody's got to play him a tape of this.
I think I'm being very kind.
Oh, man, are you kidding me? You said that you were slap fighting, made him sound like a silly girl, man. Made him sound like some guy's tagging him in the middle of the night in a jail cell, and a guy got...
All right, well, you don't have to be that graphic.
He's going to hear it, and he's going to hate you.
I hope he doesn't hate me. I think Sean's a great guy. I think he's a wonderful guy, and he's been a nice guy to me. I'm just telling you, Sean, this doesn't do the format any good. It doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do radio any good. And I don't blame you. I blame the jackasses that run this industry that set a guy like you up and let you even get in the same room with a Christopher Hitchens. Talk radio is one thing. It's a lot of fun and games. Whoopee-doo. And we can all strut and posture. And we got a bunch of fans that think we're just all that, which we ain't. But when you get into the same stage with a guy like Hitchens, he's going to rip you an ass, man. That's exactly what he did. Whoever talked you into that one, you ought to fire that guy. Or, I don't know, you know. I don't know what you would do.
Drop me out of an airplane, don't let him open the chute for 400 feet.
What?
Drop me out of an airplane, don't let him open the chute for 400 feet, I think is what he said.
Yeah!
What are you yelling at? Get over here! The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by, if world-famous, not for much longer, by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for being patient. Thank you for supporting the show. Just flat thank you for everything you've done for me and more. And don't forget our website is philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and watch the falderall that am the Phil Hendry Show. Have a beautiful weekend, you guys. I hope you do. And until Monday, let that, all of that, be a lesson for you.
Phil Hendry.